I want you to take a moment this morning to think about a cell phone television commercial. Any particular cell phone television commercial come to mind? My daughter Katie works for the cell phone company T-Mobile. She is in advertising and marketing. One of her responsibilities is to go around the country putting together focus groups in Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Detroit, getting information and research for T-Mobile's next cell phone television commercial. The one thing she tells me over and over again with a look of disgust is, "Dad, the only cell phone commercial people remember is that geeky looking guy from Verizon going around saying, 'Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?'" It is the title of my homily this morning. But what I really want you to think of when I say, "Can you hear me now?" is Jesus. Put him where the me is. Can you hear Jesus now? Can you hear Jesus now? I ask you to think about that because it shows up in this morning's gospel. Really, it does. In the account of the transfiguration of our Lord, there is this heavenly voice that comes out of the bright cloud that says, "Listen to him. Listen to Jesus." Can you hear Jesus now? Of course, we always take "listen to him" to mean that Jesus will literally speak a word or two to us. He does, but not always in the ways we expect him to. Most of our lives, Jesus speaks to us in the sounds of silence. Can you hear Jesus now in the silence? One of the most difficult things a pastor can ask a congregation to do is to be silent. You have any idea how many seconds that silence was? Just a little bit more than 5 seconds. If I asked you to take a minute for silence, you would think that it would be 55 seconds too long. We don't like silence. We live in a world that is plugged in, from iPods to smartphones, from Wi-Fi to Wii, from boomboxes to boys. It seems that the only time when we're not plugged in, when we're not connected, is when there is a power outage. But even a power outage does not guarantee silence, because I remember the last one, there was a lot of weeping and gnashing of teeth because people could not get connected. Why do we find silence so difficult? Perhaps because we have come to believe that listening implies hearing, hearing a voice, a word. In today's gospel, on the eve of entering into the holy season of Lent, we accompany Peter, James, and his brother John to the mountain with Jesus. And here the most strange and wonderful thing happens. Jesus is transfigured. When was the last time you used that word, huh? Transfigured. We use words like makeover, remodel, renovate. Transfigured, not so much. But on that mountaintop, Jesus is changed. His appearance is altered. And for Jesus' makeover, Moses and Elijah are present. But even as big as this dynamic duo star power is, they are overshadowed by the voice that comes from the cloud. "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Listen to him. Okay. So what does Jesus tell Peter, James, and John? He says, "Tell no one about the vision No one until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Tell no one. Really? Tell no one? You have just witnessed one of the most awesome and wonderful and amazing things, Jesus' transfiguration. And now you can't use Twitter, Instagram, Facebook to report it. And yet the voice said, listen to him. Listen to him in the sounds of silence. This is difficult for us, for we have come to expect to hear Jesus speak. In fact, is it not his word that we revere? And isn't that what he does? He speaks. He teaches. He gives answers. He shares parables. And yet, when we think about it, what often happened when someone ran up to Jesus and asked him a question? Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? His response was usually to ask a question back. What is written in the law? What do you read there? And the result was silence. Silence. His preaching was full of such questions. Barbara Brown Taylor, a pastor, a theologian, a professor, she wrote a book a number of years back called When God is Silent. She wrote in it over and over again, when people looked to Jesus for answers, he gave questions. And then the ensuing silence, often the silence surprised. And when he taught, one of two things happened. His teachings often silenced his opponents, the scribes and the Pharisees. And they would choose to no longer ask him anything. And when he did teach and speak, he often spoke in parables, which left many just shaking their heads and wondering, what did that mean? Listen to him. Listen to him carries the heavy weight of silence. To us moderns, Brown Taylor says, the weight of silence is not a feather. It is more like a huge stone, a boulder, really. We carry it around, constantly having to shift it from shoulder to shoulder, from one arm to another, because the silence is so heavy. Listen to him. Listen to the sounds of silence. Can you hear Jesus now? We often claim that we would like a little silence in our lives, a chance to get away for a little peace and quiet, but the reality is that most of us have a hard time being alone with silence. We want to tune in so we can tune out the silence that is our lives. Because being silent forces you to think about your life, to examine yourself, your faith, who you really are, where have you been, and perhaps more importantly, where are you going? In the holy silence that is not just the absence of words, but in the holy silence that speaks louder than words, we do hear. We hear in the silence of the faces of hungry children, the desperate poor, those who have no voice and no one to speak for them. We hear in the faces of the anxious unemployed, the anguished single mother or single father, worried about how to care and provide for their children. These faces in the silence are nothing less than the faces of Christ Jesus. In the silence, he speaks to us. In their silence, he cries out to us. These faces in the silences are the faces of Christ crying out to us. Silent night, unholy night. In the silence, we cannot sleep because the grudge that we have carried around for weeks is still with us, keeping us awake, as is that injustice we suffered or the betrayal we experienced. We keep waking up in the silence because they cry to us too, get even, settle the score, or as we like to say today, I want to be whole again. In the silence, we can also hear the Spirit, the God-given Spirit, promised to us in the waters of holy baptism, promised to us in the waters of holy baptism and calling to us to have faith, to trust in pursuing forgiveness and repentance and reconciliation, to listen to Jesus is to listen to the sounds of silence, those in our own lives as well as in the faces of others. It isn't as if God has nothing to say to us. God does indeed have something to say to us, something very important. Something so important for us to hear that we need the ears to hear in the silence. It is what the death of Jesus taught us, that God speaks even in the silence. From the moment that Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, all that he took with him as he set his face toward Jerusalem and toward the cross, all he took with him was the memory of that voice on the mountain saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am pleased. Listen to him." And that is all that we take so often, is the memory of God's promise to us in the waters of forgiveness. You are my child. With you I am well pleased. It is not because of what you have done or what I have done or what either one of us has left undone. It is because God has simply given us that promise. You are my child, my beloved child. And not only are we God's beloved children, but we are also the instruments of his grace to others, to those whose faces speak to us in their silence, whose faces cry out to us. In the silence, while the disciples slept, you can bet Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane for that voice to be heard again. But the only voice he heard from was his own. Barbara Brown Taylor again. He was arrested, tried, and convicted without so much as a sigh from heaven. From the cross, he pleaded for a word, any word from God. He asked for bread and got a stone. Finally, in the most profound silence of his life, he died. He died believing himself forsaken by God. My God, why have you forsaken me? This is Jesus, the beloved Son who knows the anguish, who knows the frustration of our own unanswered prayers, our words and our thoughts, and our sighs to God flung into the fathomless silence. Only an idol always answers. Barbara Brown Taylor again. This God who keeps silent, even when God's own flesh and blood is begging for a word, is the God beyond anyone's control. And all I need say to you is, what was your last prayer to God? And are not most of our prayers attempts to control God? An answer will come. An answer comes to every prayer, but do not be surprised if it comes in the silence. Now the silence. Now the peace. Now the empty hands uplifted. With the body and blood of Christ offered up to you and to me, with the silent sounds of this community going to this mountain behind me. The silent sounds of eating and drinking, we are listening to our lives with the silent sounds of the community of faith eating and drinking. We listen to our lives, we listen to who we are, and how important it is to know who we are, but even more important, whose we are. You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. With you I am well pleased. We come here knowing where we have been. We have been in some of the most darkest and lowest of valleys, but we have also been to the mountaintop. We have known a God of grace and love who invites us on a journey of faith. Can you hear him now? Follow me. Follow me. So together is the communion of saints, the church, the body of Christ in the world. Once again, we will come to this mountain, and once again, we will go down from this mountain to follow our Lord to Jerusalem. But we will not go alone. We will go together as the communion of saints, and we will all be transfigured. For every time we receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ, we are transfigured. We become his body to the world. That's what we are, his body broken and shed for the world. To him we cling, and to the memory of God's voice at our baptism. You are my child. I love you. Even in the sounds of silence, we can hear the promises of God with the ears of faith. This is the meaning of faith. This is the genuine experience of faith. To hear God's promises of love and grace in the sounds of silence. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.